Where the rules just don't apply.
Standing, keep my head above the water.
No,
you only needed one to die. It's too late to.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's your host, Lopez, and I just want to say thank you for tuning into this episode today. If you're on Facebook and want to show some support with a like on the page, you can find it by going to facebook.com/behindcloseddoorspodcast or just searching Behind Closed Doors Podcast. You can also find it on Twitter at the BCD Podcast and on Instagram at the Behind Closed Doors Podcast. Last but not least, follow the podcast on Spotify by searching Behind Closed Doors in the podcast section to see all the amazing upcoming interviews I have to come. Every Sunday, I post a picture of a band with a hint of who my next guest is. Then on Tuesday, I post a brief clip from our video interview with a good highlight of our conversation we had. And lastly, post the new episode up on Spotify every Thursday morning. Now, on to the episode. What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Not too much, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Just trying to get a ton of dumb house stuff done. I'm in the garage because I was out here cleaning, and then it's probably better that way because I have like four kids and it's really loud in my house.
Just want to start, man, by saying thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Yeah, no worries.
Where are you living at now? Are you still living in PA?
Yeah. I'm like right outside of Westchester still. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously you knew that I talked with your parents, last Sunday. And, did your mom tell you that your dad had ate shit on the chair outside during the interview?
No, really?
Yeah. So he went outside to take a phone call from your guys' uncle that watches Castle Bam. And, yeah. She said, well, hold on a minute. Phil's calling me now. And he just walked outside. And the next thing I know, she's freaking out. She's like, oh my God, you okay? And I can just hear your dad muffled. Like, yeah, I need help. Get up or whatever in the background. She's like, oh my God, Phil just fell. I got to call you right back.
Oh man.
So yeah, he
never a dull moment.
Man, that was funny. So, what got you into wanting to play the drums, man?
I had two uncles that were drummers, and they always had like drum sets laying around when I was a kid. I couldn't really afford one. I finally got one when I was maybe like 10 or 11. I got like a low level Tama rock star or something. And watching them play in their bands, and one of my uncles was like pretty gnarly, like Nashville kind of session guy, like he did a lot of country stuff and all that. And then my other uncle was in like a glam rock band, which when I was 10, that was like awesome, you know. It was the 80s.
what kind of influences did you have as far as drums, like band wise
I definitely got into like Zeppelin and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, I think buying like a Primus tape, that first Primus tape, really got me into drums, like hardcore. Cause the drummer of Primus, this dude, Tim Alexander, he's like a monster. And it was really cool sounding, and it made me want to do that.
So Primus was the one that really got the nail on the bite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I was really into rock music and Pink Floyd, Zeppelin, AC/DC, you know, all the normal.
Yeah,
ones.
The classics. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of drum kit are you planning on now?
I've been on Ludwig for like 20 years.
Are you endorsed with them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
Man, we signed with Island Records, and then I think the guy that signed us was like, I was like, hey, do you know any like gear companies or whatever? And he was like, yeah, I know like pretty much everybody. He's like, who's your pick? I was like, Ludwig, because, you know, Bonham, Ringo,
right,
exactly. Alex Van Halen, everybody, you know? So I was just shooting big. I thought he probably couldn't get that because, like, Ludwig's really hard to get on. Took a meeting with the dude. It was funny because he didn't really know much about the band yet. We were still kind of new. But he has like the artist rep from Ludwig has a drum store too. And he put our record on in the store, and then he played the first video that we did on the TVs. And, you know, I guess he was kind of on the fence or whatever. And then, you know, all the customers that would come into his drum store would be like, what the hell? You know, what's this? This is cool. You know, like all into it. And then that's when the guy was like, okay, yeah, you're on Ludwig.
I bet that was a bucket list goal for you, wasn't it? Finally,
it's funny. Back in those days, like we took meetings with like, you know, all these major labels and stuff and all that, and like all those people just go by what their kids tell them. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, they're old, and they're like, all right, you know, I got a 14-year-old. Like, what's cool now? You know, what's good? And seems like that's how they sign their bands. They just ask their kids.
Was it always drums for you, or did you ever try playing anything else?
I'm a terrible bass player and guitar player. I mean, I can get away with some stuff, you know, like some like easy kind of punk riffs or something. But yeah, I'm not very tech when it comes to that.
Now, when you were playing the drums, did Bam Bam ever try to play anything too, or?
Yeah, you know what? He played guitar. Like when I took drum lessons when I was like 10, 11, he was taking guitar lessons. But he was like obviously so much more into skating.
Right.
He didn't take it too seriously. But I mean, he can play like keyboard and guitar like that. If you ever heard that band Narkill.
Yep. oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's him on keyboards. Like all those first Narkill songs are just me and Bam being morons in the basement with a tape recorder, and he does like a riff on the keyboard, and then I put a beat to it, and then
Deco.
Yeah, and then Deco would just freestyle over it. And then a couple songs have guitar and stuff. Bam played guitar on like one or two of those songs. And but mostly it was just like keys, drums, freestyle, like, all right, that's cool. That's all we need.
That's funny. So, dude, CKY. Cannot believe that I'm actually like I was talking with your parents. I'll say it again. I always listen to CKY with my cousin. I give him mad props for introducing CKY to me.
Right on.
And I never imagined that I'd talk to you and shoot the shit with you through text and stuff, you know. And I had Darren on last weekend, I think it was too. And we talked a little bit about like the CKY early days and whatnot. But for you, what was the experience like for you starting the band out?
I mean, it was, we started it in like high school, you know, so
yeah.
It was pretty trippy. We were too young to get like any proper gigs at first. Like we would play like, you know, all the hardcore bands around here would take over like a VFW or something, you know, that was the gigs we got like at first. And then, finally when we got a little older, we like could play a couple like bars and stuff, which is hilarious, you know. Still like 18 or something, and a couple of the places tried to pay us in beer. It's like, all right, cool. Yeah, so then like it finally got rolling. Like we got kind of a name. I harassed enough promoters in Philly, and then we finally landed like a gig opening for G Love and Special Sauce. Was like one of our first gigs in the city. And then we got like Orange 9mm, this like really cool band from back in the day, and then we just kind of started making a little name for ourselves. But You know, obviously it didn't like really go like nationwide until the first video came out.
Right. So my favorite album out of all of them would have to be Infiltrate, Destroyed, Rebuild. Off that album is the song Sink into the Underground. What is the story? What's the story behind that song, if there is one?
You know, it's that was a super early one. We demoed that with the Volume One stuff, but for whatever reason, we didn't really get to it until Infiltrate. But yeah, I mean that tune's killer. It's like about addiction, you know.
Yeah.
I know it's gonna get me again, kind of thing. Yeah, we cut it in Hawaii. It was awesome.
Now your most popular album via streaming on Spotify is Kemp Kill Yourself Volume 1. Did you guys ever expect it to be so popular now back when you recorded it?
I don't know if I realized that it would still be like pretty popular 20 years later. It's like, yeah, it's crazy to see, like, especially 96, obviously, like, that song is, I think it's like about to hit 50 million on Spotify or whatever, right? I guess that's how people judge popularity now, Spotify numbers.
Streamings, yeah, the streaming numbers, yeah. And views or whatnot. Yeah, 96 is right now currently sitting at 42 million, so it's getting up there, that's for sure.
Getting there, yeah.
What was the writing process like with that album?
What's that?
What was the writing process like for that album?
It was like, we started like a metal band first, called Foreign Objects. And then we did this, kind of side project thing called Oil. And, you know, it was kind of our attempt at like selling out. 'Cause like we started to get a couple people knocking on our door, like record labels, and we were like, oh, what do we do? Like, okay, we got to write like radio songs or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And that was totally not us. You could tell from a mile away that we were like selling out, I guess, or whatever. And then after that, we were like, you know what? Screw it. Like, let's just make a rock record, but like do it exactly how we want, you know? Like make it experimental. Like the songs are all over the place, you know, like one song's heavy, one's like real melodic, you know. It was really fun because like when we went to the studio, Chad was the engineer, and he was like the first studio guy that wanted to experiment and do crazy shit as much as we did, you know. Normally when you go to a studio, they're like, they just want to record it, do the bare minimum of work and
exactly
be done with it, you know. And it was really awesome to have somebody like, all right, let's slam this door really loud and, right. And like spray aerosol cans during this like crazy part, and we'll do this part backwards, like I loved every second of it.
Yeah, definitely would. I feel like if you would have had, like you said, just some random person that you paid to do it, they'd probably do the bare minimum, and it probably wouldn't
turn out
as well, like, you know?
Especially back then, like, it was, like, really expensive to go to a studio that was, like, half decent.
Right.
It cost, like, a fortune. And so when you're paying that kind of money, you hope that the engineer guy like wants to, you know, put extra like effort into it or whatever. But since we were such like a small time band at the time, you know, we'd get into like a decent studio and we're small potatoes, and they were kind of just like, all right, yeah, just all right, set up the drums, throw the mics up, you know, record it. You know, and I'm like, hey, can we experiment a little and move some mics around or like add this effect to this and do that? They're like, all right, fine, Jesus. Yeah. like it's a pain in their ass, and you feel bad, and it's like, this sucks.
Yeah, it makes it just kind of tense and awkward, you know.
Yeah, totally.
If you guys were to do a cover, what would you want that song to be?
Well, the last EP we did, we finally covered "Bite It, You Scum," Gigi Allen song.
No shit, I have to check that out. We've been playing it
live for ages, and just never got around to recording it. But finally, we were like, "All right, you know what? People have been asking for years and years. Let's just fucking record this thing."
I'm gonna have to. And you said that's off the Phoenix album.
That's off an EP that we did.
Okay.
A little bit ago, it was like a record store day thing. I think they printed like 2,500 vinyl or something. And then it went on like all the streaming and all that about a year ago or something.
I'll have to check that out. I did not catch that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely super experimental, like in a cool way though. You know, it's very different for us, but that's where we're at now. It's fun. You know, we've been a band for 20 whatever years, and you know, it's boring trying to, like, it's definitely fun to mess around and experiment with different styles and stuff that you might not have before, you know.
For sure. What's your favorite music video you guys recorded, and why is it?
I go with Head for a Breakdown, just because it was so much fun. Like, it happened by accident. we're doing a tour in England, and we're supposed to have like a press day, like go to London and hit all the BBC and all the radio stuff and do all that. And it got canceled because of it was like the day of that God, what's that chick? Ariana Grande, you know, there was like a massive like terrorist bombing or something.
Oh, I remember that. I do remember.
Yeah,
that.
It was like probably 2017, something like that.
Yeah.
And so obviously all the press we had got canceled, and we're just in London. It's like, now what do we do? And it's kind of lame, but I mean, I've been to London probably 20 times, but I never like did all the stuff. You know, like I never went to Abbey Road, never saw the tower, never did all that touristy stuff really. And we're like, okay, let's do all that. And then we had these filmer, the Costa sisters were at the gig before, and they have like all the good cameras and stuff. And we're like, okay, cool, Costa sisters, film us just wandering in London, you know. And there was like some performance footage from the gig we played in London the next day. I don't know, it just turned out cool. Like, it's just a cool vibe, and it's cool how it happened like spontaneously like that, you know.
And I was talking with Darren, I talked to him about the music video for Sporadic Movement, how I can't remember who he said was driving, but he said it was very sketchy because the gate would open up, there'd be a line of traffic, and then he'd hit the brakes and you guys would go tumbling forward and backwards. And he said it was just a very sketchy situation.
Yeah, at one point we were shooting on the highway and it was like all the cars were like going nuts, honking. They were like, what is that? It's all lit up and a band's playing in the back of a box truck. It's like not something you see every day.
I want to talk a little bit more about your guys' live shows. For anyone that hasn't seen CKY, what's a CKY show?
Man, you never know what you're going to get. Like, I mean, coming from my perspective, it's like every city's so different.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I really look forward to that. Like, you know, when we play Scotland or something, like, people are insane. Like, and I feed off the crowd, you know. I mean, I played these songs a million times, so when there's a crowd that's going nuts, like when the house lights come on and you just see bodies in the air and like it's just mayhem, then like I feed off that, and it just makes me so stoked, you know.
Oh yeah,
That's definitely a huge deal.
Yeah, crowd involvement for sure. What's one of your favorite tours you've done in the past?
man, we did like a lot of touring when the Phoenix came out, and there's so many cool tours we hopped on. We did that hymn tour, like their farewell tour. That was awesome. We did the Warped Tour with Gwar and Hatebreed and tons of great bands. It was that was fun. We haven't done the Warped Tour since 2000 before that. So it's pretty brutal tour. Like my buddy and I joke, like if you did Warped Tour, it's like you were in Nam together. It's like, like, oh, you were in Vietnam? Like, yeah, all right, let's not talk about it, but like, yeah, right. Respect, you know?
Dude, that is has to be the hottest fucking tour that there was.
Yeah. And like, there was a stretch of like 20 shows in a row or something.
Yeah. With
massive drives. So,
oh my God.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, you're dirty as hell. You're like, you got heat stroke. You're
just like, yeah.
I mean, it was tough when I was like in my 20s, and you know, now it's really tough.
Dude, I remember
I felt half dead by the end of that.
I remember I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but I was at the Chicago, it was Chicago Warped Tour. I can't remember what year it was. It was when Miss May I was the headliner for it. And it was so fucking hot. Like there were so many kids that were like, there was like a big sprinkler that they had spraying mist on all these kids. And there was kids like going into not the ER, but like the medic room and getting their parents called to come pick them up and having ice bottles, waters. And dude, right. it was nuts. It was just so hot, you know, and it's hot for those kids, but it's hot for you guys.
The crazy part is we looked forward to Chicago and all that. Like it was Texas, Arizona, and like all those that, I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It's like three songs in. You're like, I can't breathe, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what 110 degrees.
And your guys are going all out, you know?
Yeah.
Jeez. So when you're on tour, man, what's a day in the life like for you from sunrise to sunset? Because I know every band has their different, you know, the routines that they do and whatnot.
I mean, again, it really depends on where you're at. If you're playing Iowa or something, then you're probably just going to hang on the bus and like watch a movie. But if you're in a cool city, you know, like you go out, find a cool restaurant, you know,
yeah,
get sound check over with, kind of like walk around and see some cool shit, you know. Yeah. So again, different every city you're in, really.
So for touring for you, what's it like since you've got kids when you're away from them and how, like, so what's it like for you being away from them and what's it like for them when you're gone from them?
It's definitely a double-edged sword because, you know, it's like, obviously we used to tour for months and months at a time. I can't get away with that anymore. I try to make the tours we go on, like hopefully like cap around 3 weeks, maybe a month at the most. And, but yeah, the cool part is it sucks. Cause like I'm like gone. It's just FaceTime.
Yeah.
And then, but when I'm home, you know, like I'm not going to a job every day or whatever.
Exactly.
So then they get me for a month straight at home. So pretty good balance, you know? And now I haven't toured in almost a year coming up. So it's like,
nah, I'm sure you're itching for it, huh?
Yeah. I'm definitely missing live shows, but I gotta say, it's been cool, like having some downtime for the first time in forever. You know? Yeah. I'm like doing all the house projects I've been meaning to get to forever. Like I could finally do all that, you know.
What's the craziest thing that you've seen, or what's the craziest thing that's happened on tour, whether it was to you or something that you just seen happen? I'm sure there's a whole handful of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, like the craziest thing I've seen, like we played a lot of like venues in bad neighborhoods, and I've seen like we played the Warfield one time in San Francisco, which is in like a really crazy neighborhood. And I remember walking out the tour bus and there's like two homeless guys and they like were in like a knife fight. And the one guy, meanwhile, there's a huge line and they're all just watching this. And the one guy stabs the one dude and he dies. And he's just laying there dead on the street.
Oh my God.
And then everyone there is so used to how fucked up it is that they didn't even care that this guy is dead. And I was like, you know, I get on the bus and people are like, "Oh, Jeff!" And I'm like, "Is that guy dead?" And somebody's like, "Yeah, I think so." And I'm like, "All right, I'll call the police," you know?
Right.
And then the police came and like, they were like, "Oh, yeah, another one," you know? It's just like, he's... I'm like, dude, this is crazy. Like, I just saw a murder and like, no one cares.
Were they even, do you even know what they were fighting for? Or like, what happened to the dude that killed him? Did he just like take off or?
They were literally fighting over like something one of the guys found in the trash or something.
Like, that, like a that sandwich. Might be worth something.
Or, you know, I don't know. It was, they were literally fighting over like a plastic bag of something that probably wasn't that cool.
Right. Oh my God. That is.
Whoever was in there, like, it wasn't worth it.
What, so did that dude just like take off on foot after he stabbed him or
yeah, like he didn't even run, he just walked away like, yep.
Like I won and, that and,
like, I don't think the cops looked for him or anything. It was just I've never seen anything like it, man.
He just stabbed him and he's like, "Nah, I'm gonna go eat this fucking bag of cheese it crumbs and fucking."
Yeah. And then like everyone just like, you know, like somebody got a parking ticket. Like they,
yeah, like, oh well, his bad.
Yeah, they were just like, "Oh yeah, yeah, another guy just died." Yeah, I guess it just happens like every 20 minutes there.
Oh my God, I bet that was some good reassurance for you. I bet you were ready to get the fuck out of there.
I couldn't wait to leave. It's a shame too, because the venue is amazing. It's like this really awesome theater. It's just in the worst part of town imaginable.
Jesus Christ. Now, what do you, when you're on off days on tour, what do you typically do? Just kind of lounge out, chill out?
Yeah, it's usually a recovery day, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially these days.
What's the strangest or most awkward interaction with a fan that you guys had?
Man, you know, there's a lot of wacky people that come up to you and say some really wacky shit. And, it's, you don't know how to handle it sometimes, you know, if they're going on and on about something and they won't, and they're like right up on your face and they won't let it go when you're clearly like, "Okay, man."
Yeah. You're giving a good hint.
Tone it down a notch. Right. I'm excited to see you too. Right. What the hell are you talking about?
There was one time, man, I went and seen Suicide Silence. I remember we were at a meet and greet and there was just this gooniest kid you could ever imagine. His legs were all, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun of nobody or nothing, you know, but he was just so goony, man. Like his legs were bowed in and he wore just the tightest clothes that he had on possible. And he just had the most annoying voice in the fucking world. And he just kept coming up and talking to me and my buddy. And he's like, "Yeah, I went inside and I asked him for a free guitar." And I'm like, "Did you really think that they were going to give you a fucking free guitar?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because you have a degree, you're not going to get a guitar.
I have trouble with the people that are like, have all these theories about stuff. Like, it's almost like QAnon, but for my band. And they,
oh God.
And they like start rattling off like all these wacky ideas of tying things together. And it's like, what? What the hell are you talking about?
It's even worse when they're drunk too. And they're just like, you know, they're right up in your fucking face and
talking about Illuminati and all this shit. It's like, I'm not Illuminati, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
What's one major conflict or failure that you've had while being a musician and what did you do to overcome that?
Wait, say again.
So for you being a musician, like in a touring band and everything, what's one conflict or failure that you faced and what did you do to overcome that?
Conflict. I mean, there's been like songs that really give me a lot of trouble, you know?
Yeah.
It's really fucking frustrating. but you know, like it, a lot of times there's you know, whatever band it is, not CKY, like, I'm playing a ton of stuff, and I do, like, guest stuff a lot, and every once in a while, there's, like, a tune that comes at me that's, like, totally not in my comfort zone, you know, which I like. I like being, you know, challenged, but every once in a while, it doesn't happen often, but there's just, like, a style or like if it's a cover tune or something and the drummer's playing in this weird way that doesn't jive with how I play. And I have to like somehow figure out how to mold to that, you know, and it's challenging sometimes. So yeah, you get frustrated, but like, that's kind of part of the fun too. Cause when you do it, it's cool because it doesn't sound like something you know. It's totally outside the box of what your style normally is, you know?
Yeah, that's just like when I heard Chino Marino from the Deftones on a Lamb of God song. I never would have imagined he'd be on a Lamb of God song, you know?
Yeah, that's fun. It's so fun to do stuff like that, you know? Like,
yeah, good. Like the comfort zone.
Together, like I've been a lucky SOB, man. Like, I've done tons of songs with tons of badasses and stuff. And yeah, it's really fun to get somebody from this band and do this song.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sense, but if you make it make sense and yeah, I don't know. That's the fun of music. There's no rules, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So stemming back to the Jackass and CKY days, what were those times like for you? Did they really fuck with you that much or?
It was just, yeah, I mean, it was like pretty overwhelming. Like stuff happened pretty fast. And, you know, we're all so young and, you know, naive, but sometimes that in a good way. And sometimes, you know, looking back, I'm like, I would have done this instead, you know, but you know, it was just, it was a perfect storm of stuff that happened. And, you know, by the time, like, you know, the TV show happened and the movie and then like all this stuff, like it just became like, okay, you know, we got a cool, like cult following here. And then, when it got to the point of like being like pretty almost mainstreamish, we never like really had like a big radio thing or whatever, which is kind of good in my opinion. But you know, we're definitely like doing mainstream things and playing mainstream venues and stuff like that. And it, again, it just happened really fast, you know, like felt like we started a tour playing like bars and clubs, and then within, you know, 9 months to a year, we're playing these huge places, and
yeah,
it was pretty trippy, you know.
Now the movie Where the Fuck Is Santa, you and the guys traveled to Lapland, Finland. What was that like for you?
That was a lot of fun, because that was like it kind of happened at the perfect time. Like me and Chad probably wouldn't usually take on being in a full movie like that. Like, you know, we usually just kind of pop up and make guest appearances here and there when we have time. But that happened like right after CKY broke up the first time. So we were kind of just like, all right, now what? And then that movie, you know, Warner Brothers pitched that movie at us and band like, you know, involved us in it. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Kept us busy, you know.
What was it like
where we weren't busy?
What was it like when the Dudesons came on and they had the box full of like deer dicks and shit like that?
You know, I knew of them and I've seen a couple of their shows at that point, but I wasn't like super familiar with them, and they're nuts. Like yeah, they're like next level out of control, man. I remember they we're filming like when we went way up north with the dog sleds and all that.
Yeah.
and there was a frozen lake, and they just stopped and like made a hole in the ice. And then they just had a tug of war. And then I think Yarpy fell into the frozen water, and we had to like get him out. And he just started like rolling around in snow. Like he's got like no clothes on. And he's like, oh, it feels warm. And I was like, that's hypothermia, man. We got to get you inside fast by a fire or something. Like this, that's really bad. And they're just like, like
they're crazy.
Like, shit. Yeah. I was like, dude, you guys are nuts.
That's the movie where Bam, he had cut Joe Franz's hair, didn't he, in that movie?
Dude, you know, I can't remember all the details.
I think he cut his hair like when he was sleeping and then like showed him when he woke up and he like freaked the fuck out. I don't know if it was that or if it was a different something else, but I know he was real pissed.
Did you guys blur, man? It all kind of blends together. My memory's trash these days.
Did you guys really get that dude, random guy at the bar, to come all the way back to Westchester to act like that was the real Santa?
Yeah.
How did that come about? Did you just like tell him like this is what you're gonna do and then we'll fly you back?
Yeah, like we're like, let's make this happen, man. That guy totally looks like Santa, and obviously it didn't work out when we went to the
right,
real deal.
The fucking Bahamas, fat fuck.
And yeah, it worked out nice. And then we just flew him back to Westchester. He was like so confused the entire time. Like he had no idea who the hell we were, what the hell was going on. But you know, we must have like made him a decent offer that he couldn't pass up, and he was like, all right, what the hell? Okay.
He didn't speak a lick of English, did he?
Well, his English was like pretty broken, but like I was talking to him like in between filming, and he was like in the military and all this shit. Like he had a pretty cool story, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aside the movie Where the Fuck Is Santa and whatnot, what other movies or affiliations did you have with Jackass or Viva La Bam or anything like that?
Well, I mean, we've like just did soundtrack stuff for a bunch of movies.
Were you in Haggard?
Yeah, I was in it a little bit.
What parts were you in? Because it's been a while since I've seen that.
I was obviously the drummer in the Narkill scene. And then there was like just some quick pickup shots I was in. Like, again, that we're on tour constantly, like back then. So it was literally like I'd be home for like a week and Bam would like find a spot to put me in or whatever.
Now, if you could give any a bit of advice for anyone that wants to follow in your footsteps, what would you say?
Man, if you want to do music, it's really tricky now. It's kind of like the Wild Wild West. And you have to be really creative. And like, you know, when we first started, it was pretty simple. You made an album, you sold a bunch of CDs, and you know, you kind of went on tour to promote the album. Now it's completely reversed, and you do an album so you can do a tour. And now touring is your main income. And you really have to like, you know, like try and like get licensing deals, try and do whatever you can, like try and get in where you can on like video games or whatever, because that's another way to make some money.
Yeah, because you get a certain percent every time that it's played, like if it's on a commercial or like you said, like a video game. Like I'm assuming you guys were on at least one of the Tony Hawk games, weren't you?
Yeah, and I believe we're doing the new one coming out too.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that is fucking. I bet that was huge news when you found that out.
Yeah, my son just got a PS5 and he got the remaster of 1 and 2.
What's that like? Because, dude, I seen that and I'm kicking myself in the ass still to fucking get my hands on that.
Yeah, it was a mission to get to find a PS5, man. It's like, you know, I had a couple connections and it was literally, you know, they would get two in and they'd be gone in minutes. So that was really tricky. But yeah, the remaster of, like, it's so cool because the classic Tony Hawks are just so good and laid out great. But obviously the system is old and the graphics aren't great. So they basically just vamped up with the same premise and the graphics are amazing. And yeah, it's just really cool that they did that, you know.
Which one did they have your dad as a secret character in?
I think that was 4 or maybe the first underground one.
What did you think when you saw that?
Well, you know, like I said, my son, he's 10 or he's 11, and he's like super into video games, like all kids now. And you know, he got into playing that, and then I found my old like PS2 or something, and I found a copy of 4 or whatever that one is, and yeah, I didn't even tell him, and I realized how weird it must be for him to see Pup-Up, you know, his grandfather in his underwear as a character in the game. He was just like, you can see his mind was like, what is happening right now? You know?
Oh my God. I can imagine. He's like, wait a minute. I know who that is, you know? And he's like, what? Why?
Yeah. And like, I didn't tell him, you know, anything. Like, we unlocked it, and then he was just like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, right, I remember this, yeah. And to me, I'm just like, right, okay. But he was like, no, this is not normal.
Holy shit, dude. What's the band been up to since COVID? Is there anything you can talk or tease about?
Well, we just did that live stream concert. Man, that was a lot of fun. Stressful, but fun. And it went really well. We might do another one down the road. I don't know. We're kind of talking about that. Maybe doing one more live stream thing. Maybe kind of like take requests, you know. Maybe throw some covers in, something. I don't know. Make it fun. Maybe have some guest appearances from some people. I don't know. Still very much in the talks. We haven't agreed to anything yet, but that's kind of like what we're throwing around. And then, yeah, obviously we're working on a ton of music. Just Chad's down in Nashville, so it's been a lot of trading ideas back and forth through internet.
Now, if it wasn't for music for you, what would your plan B have been?
I don't know if I know how to do anything else. you know what? Like I do. I was like brewing beer for a while. I got into that. I like linked up with some major like brew people around here. And I was talking about making it, cause you know, I was just kind of doing it for like friends that came over and just personal brews. Messing around with different styles. But then, you know, a couple of people came along and like, there was like a chance to maybe like make it public so people could get it, you know, in PA and maybe a few other states around here to start. But again, that's like when the Phoenix started recording that and things got really busy. And then I kind of like abandoned that for the time being.
If it was, so besides you playing drums and being in CKY and playing music, what's some of the other things that you're into doing, like hobby wise?
Well, I mean, you know, CKY is definitely the main one, but I definitely do a lot of other bands, and especially recently I've been like I just did like a kind of like a soundtrack thing that's like totally, again, not in my comfort zone, but it was really fun. So yeah, other than CKY, I do other music that's not in that style. And then I've been skating a lot again for the first time in a while because my son's into it, so that got me back into it. Yeah, just stuff like that. It's been hard like the past year because you can't really go out many places.
Right. Exactly.
But luckily I live kind of in the middle of nowhere, so there's like a lot of land you can walk around, you know, you got the four wheeler, you can take a ride. There's a river right over there. You could like in the summer we would like kayak and stuff like that.
How much snow did you guys get hit with? Because I'm from Indiana. I'm like not that far from the border of Michigan and Illinois, so I'm like in the top left hand corner of it, you know.
Right, and, right.
We got hit with snow last night pretty good, and then on Sunday night when I actually interviewed with your parents, we got fucked with snow, and I know it headed over that way, so I don't know if you guys got hit real just as bad or
a couple of days ago it was a lot. It's probably like almost 2 feet.
We got smacked with the same snow. Crazy. So before we wrap this up, man, I just want to ask you four this or that questions, and they're going to be the most serious questions that you've probably been asked in your whole life.
Okay.
Hit me. Would you rather have Cheeto fingers for the rest of your life or have a popcorn kernel stuck in the back of your throat for the rest of your life?
God, the popcorn kernel thing sucks so bad. Yeah, it's happened a lot to me. Ice cream throat sucks too.
Yeah.
Like when you get that frozen spot and you're just like, it feels like, that's horrible. I don't know, man.
Because the Cheeto fingers, dude, that's the fucking worst feeling, I feel like, too. I don't know why people, I ask people that all the time, like, oh, no brainer, Cheeto fingers. Think about it, you know, it's just that sticky fucking, I hate that feeling. Mm. Just that sticky, gritty feeling.
Yeah.
The last one I want to ask you is, would you rather have fingers as long as your legs or legs as long as your fingers?
Fingers as long as my legs. Maybe I could pull off some cool drum shit with wacky fingers.
I hear you. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, man.
Yeah, man. No problem.
I'll see you, Jess.
Take it easy.